So when we were assigned our topics for speaking, I started to think about, is this right? I started to think about what I might say, and one of the things that came to mind was how the teachings do apply to the lay life. I thought people might come here and they'd see that everybody sitting up here is or was an ordained person. So apart from reminiscence, what has this got to do with me? Having the honor to work on a book of Achan Shah's teachings over the recent years, and living in the world as I was doing it, I couldn't help but think about this. So it's not so much what teachings did Achan Shah give to lay people specifically, but how do his teachings apply in general, apply to lay life? Because generally he taught and trained monks, and in Thailand it's often the lay people supply the place and the food and the monks do the practice. And it's not exactly like that, but that's sort of the idea that you can get. When I first disrobed and came to California, and I'm not sure exactly what I was expecting, but I thought at least, you know, people would have moved along a little bit. And in those years, and then I see people still doing the things I used to do with it. You know, don't they know that stuff went out of style in 1968 or something? The Buddha gave a simile for the world of sensory experiences, a skinned cow standing at crossroads, and the dust and the insects and the sunlight and everything, whatever, all these things provoke extreme sensitivity. And this is what I started to feel when I left the monastery. I really got myself into it now. In a sense, as lay people, we need to take the teachings to heart even more, because we don't have the kind of protection that monastic people do, and we don't have the rules of restraint that we learn to naturally follow, and the people we deal with don't have those rules, they may not even be thinking that they should have any restraint about anything. So there are no boundaries as to what you might have to deal with. So being able to internalize the practice becomes even more important for us, in a sense. In one of the tapes that I listened to, I'm working on the book, Achan Shah was kind of scolding the monks, and he said, you know, a lot of you live here and you dream about how nice it would be to be a lay person, and, you know, I'd have my house and my field, and I'd harvest my crop and I'd sell it and I'd have money and I'd buy the things I want and I'd have my nice family and I'd have this and I'd have that. He said, you don't know. But the lay people, they're out doing it, and they are breaking their backs in the fields, and they're counting their income and their expenses, and they're involved in business and trying not to be cheated and not to lose what they have and family hassles. He said the lay people do it thoroughly, so they know they can get the renunciation mind because they're really in contact with it. Where here we're sitting, wearing monk's robes and daydreaming about how great the lay life might be. This possibility is there. So I think maybe the point is that I came to feel that most of his teachings, you wouldn't say this part is for the monks and this part is for the lay people, but it's all pretty universally applicable. And what Joseph was talking about, how when he came to this country, he talked about sila, the precepts. And, you say five precepts, it doesn't seem like much. But, of course, there's a great deal of refinement that you can apply in your life just on the five precepts of respecting life and respecting property and not being greedy for what you don't have, and your sexual relations and abstaining from intoxication. And I mean, generally, the way most worldly people live is intoxication, and it's a constant pursuit of distraction and amusement and intoxication. And I think with a little reflection, you can take and honesty also as one of the precepts, and you can take these to a great level of refinement in your life. And he said, just these five precepts, the baseline for human existence. And if people could only do this, never mind talking about enlightenment, but we would have a world without too much trouble. And he said nowadays things just seem to be getting worse and worse in society, and nobody can figure out why. And it's really very simple, that it's this lack of what we can call morality or ethical living, and we can't get away from it. There's no way around it. And of course, I think most of you know that in Buddhism, the precepts aren't like commands from on high that somebody's going to punish you for. But once you get some sensitivity, you see how it makes a lot of sense, and it can bring a lot more harmony into your existence. And with this as the basis, the other element of his teaching is mindfulness. And mindfulness is a jewel. And it says having mindfulness is like being near to the Buddha or being near to God. Or he actually used those words, whatever you want to call it. And again, in lay life, I think it's easy to lose your mindfulness, but with a little sensitivity and reflection, you can see how much difficulty you end up having when you don't have your mindfulness. And he did, as somebody said, he was loving kindness and compassion, and he didn't teach about it a lot, and he didn't teach the methods for generating it, but it was certainly part of the outlook that he encouraged people to have, and often spoke how we think, somebody is, this is my family, or this is my home village, this is my country, and others are not my relatives or not my neighbors or not my country people. He said that's just a delusion, that we're all human beings and born into the same condition. We're all relatives in birth, aging, and death. And it's really a delusion to think otherwise. And when you start thinking like this, then you naturally have a kind attitude towards others. There's one thought that keeps coming back and slipping away, but there, and also one quotation that I've always wanted to get into print and have never been able to, that I think in this so-called information age, I remember when he was at the retreat at IMS, I don't know how he got on the topic, but he was talking about knowledge, and he said, everybody worships knowledge. And, not many people worship virtue. And, now, somehow there's this idea that things are better now in the information age, and this is one remark that keeps on coming to my mind. Just a few more thoughts as I worked on this recent book. Some things would really strike me, and they just seem so relevant to whatever I was experiencing. Just the talk somebody gave about the log of wood is, is it heavy? And he used the illustration of a boulder. Is it heavy? Well, if you walk by it, it's not heavy. If you try to move it, it's heavy. Is a lemon sour? Well, if you bite into it, it's sour. If you don't, it's not sour. As I said, I would show these things to my wife, and then sometimes I'd come home from work and start carrying on about what happened, and she would tell me that that rock is heavy. Oh, you got me. He was talking to a group of lay people, and these were, I think, doctors and educated people from Bangkok, and they're talking about the difficulties of living in the world and applying Buddhism. He said, well, I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen monkeys? He would ask something like, have you ever seen a monkey? Well, everybody knows what a monkey is. Or do you know what a dog is? Yeah. And do monkeys sit still? And are they calm? If you wanted a monkey to sit still, your wishes wouldn't be fulfilled. You could get very annoyed. So once you come to realize monkeys are like that, then you're not upset. And if you see one monkey, you can understand the nature of monkeys. And then wherever you go, whenever you see monkeys, see them jumping around and playing, monkeys are like that. And he said, we become those who know monkeys. And just like he said, the Buddha is said to be the one who knows the world just like we have become the ones who know monkeys. It almost sounds sacrilegious, you know, compared the Buddha to people looking at monkeys, but this is the way he taught. And then he said, then as we go through life and we stop trying to force everybody or wish everybody to be a certain way, and we're always turning back into ourselves and looking at ourselves and not trying to manipulate the world, because monkeys are like that. And kept on repeating this phrase for a few minutes, and you know, coming to the place of great peace, because monkeys are like that. And these simple reminders are just very skillfully taught by him from somebody who has done it. I found to be very pertinent and useful, whether I'm a lay person, or you could say, as somebody asked about the benefits of lay life, well, here we go. We have more opportunities to apply the teaching of monkeys are like that. So I will close at that point.